Praise God. Take your Bibles. Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20. We're going to read that portion, and then we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 57, verses 18 and 19. It's all right to get excited in church. Don't worry about that. My mother always used to say, if they can get excited at the football, 100-something thousand people yesterday in the MCG going crazy for their team, all right? We call it football, but Mum used to call it a bunch of grown men chasing a bag of wind. And I guess that's kind of what they do. But if they can get excited about their game, we can get excited about our God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. A man's belly, or the inner man, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. Everybody say, my lips. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Everybody say the mouth. When it says the tongue, it's talking about the mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's that word fruit again. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 18 and 19. The prophet Isaiah says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I create the fruit of the lips. The mouth. You see, when we talk about the tongue, we talk about our words, when we talk about our mouth. I want to tell you today that this is a key concept that every person of God needs to know. If we want to be the person that God wants us to be, this issue of the tongue is a key concept. I believe that we cannot have victory. I believe that we cannot have dominion, what God wants us to have, without being focused on this, the tongue. Because the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so I want to minister today on this thought. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word today. We thank you for everybody that's here joining in person and online. And Lord, we know that your word has power. Lord God, and Lord, as your preached word goes forth, Lord God, let it become a rhema word to us and to our circumstances and to our situations. Lord God, Lord, help us to be not just hearers, but doers of the word also. Lord, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Turn me, O God, into a microphone from heaven. Speak your word to this church today. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I've been going over this thought in my mind since Monday when I left to go and minister at a youth camp in Melbourne. And in fact, I've been there all week. I came back on Friday night. We had a wonderful time there. In fact, by the time I get done preaching here today, it will be 15 times I've preached this week. So if my voice is kind of shaky and not holding out, you'll know why. We had a wonderful time there on the last night. We had 16 young people filled with the Holy Ghost, and we praise God for that. Amen. Got to have some beautiful fellowship. But I've been thinking about this thought all week, and the devil has come against me on this thought. And I believe when God has given me a message and the devil starts to come against me, I know that I got the right message. Other thoughts begin to come up in my mind because, yes, when we talk about speaking and the mouth, there are a lot of preachers out there that preach this the wrong way. There is the doctrine, and they call it the name it and claim it doctrine, or some people have called it the blab it and grab it. Like, you can just speak anything into existence through the power of your words. And some people have taken that to extremes, to unbiblical extremes. And I was thinking, I don't want to preach that, because I don't want to be a part of that sort of doctrine where people are saying, if you just name it and you can claim it. But it's in the Word of God. And I'm not going to let the devil rob us of the power of the Word just because some people have twisted it. And so this is a key concept for the church. It's a key concept for us as individuals. It is a key part of becoming the person that God wants us to be. And as a church, if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, we need to understand the power of the tongue. We cannot have victory. We cannot have the dominion that God has for us if we don't understand this. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so, when we read verses like that, when it says we will eat the fruit of our mouth, that means we will reap the consequences of our words, then it ought to cause us to start being intentional, to start being careful about the way we speak, and to be intentional about the words that we use, because yes, words change things. In fact, I will go a little bit further and say words create things. You speak words, they materialize things. When you said, I do, at the altar, when you got married, it created something. It changed something. And so as Christians, where does the victory come from? Let me start by telling you that Jesus has already won the victory at the cross. And as a born-again child of God, we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Everyone say Jesus Christ. We are not just a conqueror. We are more. Everybody say more. We are more than a conqueror. Somebody say more. Not just a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. And Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. He conquered Satan at the cross. And he is in a place of spiritual authority. There's power in his name. And he shared that authority with us. You see, this is the inheritance of the church. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, if you read on from there, you'll see that we have an inheritance. We have a power that we have inherited because of the cross. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so when you speak in the name of Jesus, you have authority. And if you are in the body of Christ, if you are in Christ, in the body of Christ, then just like the devil is under his feet, the devil is under your feet, because you are more than a conqueror. Somebody say, I'm victorious. And so when we understand that we are conquerors, when we understand that we are the winners, we ought to walk like victors. And we ought to talk like victors. We ought to speak with the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We have authority over the evil one. You see, it's part of our inheritance. It's what Jesus did at the cross. But on the flip side, when you begin to speak negativity, and when you begin to speak defeating statements, and when you begin to speak thoughts of hopelessness and quitting, let me tell you, you are giving the devil, a defeated devil, you are giving the devil a stick to beat you with. He's going to come back to you with the words that you spoke yourself. And so we must be people that learn to speak life. Everyone say, speak life. Now, James chapter 3, you can't talk about the tongue without going to James chapter 3. And James is a master illustrator. The way he talks about the tongue and the metaphors that he gives regarding our mouths and our tongues. It says, in one part it says, the tongue is like a bit in the mouth of a horse. Just like a bit changes the direction of a horse, the tongue changes the direction of our life. Then he says the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. Although it's so small, it can change the direction of things. Just like the rudder on a ship is so small compared to the size of the ship, it's just got to turn a bit and the ship begins to turn. He talks about the tongue being like a fire or a spark. He talks about the tongue being like a beast or a monster. He said the tongue can produce poison. He says the tongue is like a fountain. It's like a fig tree. He tells us very clearly in James that the tongue sets the course for our destiny. The tongue sets the course for our life. And Isaiah said it. We read it in our text. He said, I create the fruit of the lips. And Proverbs 18 says that we will eat the fruit of what we speak. And so God's word says that the fruit of our lives, the way our life is lived out and the results and everything and our destiny is directly affected by the way that we speak. Ooh. Yeah, the tongue can be destructive. Or it can steer our life in a place of perfect harmony. If anyone can control the tongue, James says, if anyone can control the tongue, they are able to steal and command their life. And they are able to live it, their life, the way God has intended, if you can control the tongue. Now let me tell you how we can control the tongue. You cannot control the tongue in your own strength. As hard as you try, your tongue will get you in trouble. The tongue is the revealer of all things. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I used to tell Mom, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. You know, I was trying to get out of being disciplined. I didn't mean to say that. She said, yes, you did mean to say it. It was in your heart, and then your tongue gave you away. Before you spoke it out, it was already in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we speak starts in the heart. So we cannot control our tongue in our own strength. The only way we can control our tongue is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is self-control. To be able to control your tongue. In fact, in the Bible, when we see that people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spake with other tongues. And that is very symbolic that they spoke with tongues. The Bible says they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They didn't speak, but the Spirit gave the utterance and they spoke in tongues. And so because the tongue, the Bible says, is the most unruly member in our body, when you speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, it is symbolizing that you are under complete surrender and submission to God at that point. Because even God has control of your tongue as you speak with tongues. The Bible says they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And so if God has your tongue, He's got you. Words are powerful. Everyone say words are powerful. How you talk to God, how you talk to yourself, how you talk to others, it dramatically influences the course of lives, our life. And if you are filled with words of worthlessness about yourself and careless comments and words and empty or even profane words, ultimately that's the way your life is going to turn out. The Bible says that you will eat the fruit of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 couldn't say it any clearer. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so when we face circumstances, how many people know we face difficult circumstances at times? When we face challenges, when we face situations, when our kids are just playing up and you know, terrorizing the home, and when our kids are giving us headaches, and when our job is causing us all sorts of problems, when we face these times, then we must think, okay, I want to be on a quest. I want to uncover and I want to discover God's perspective of what I'm facing. And then I'm not going to speak my words, because nobody wants to hear what I got to say about it. I'm not going to speak my words, but I'm going to speak God's words about my circumstances. I'm going to speak God's words about my situation and my trials. And when you start speaking the truth of God to yourself, and when you start speaking the truth of God to others, and when Satan comes against you and you start speaking the word of God to him, let me tell you, you have authority, and those words will give you life. They will bring life to your circumstances. Now, this is where I have to make sure you know what I'm talking about, because just speaking life alone is not enough. And some people say, you can just speak a Rolls Royce into existence. You know, I'm just going to, that's right, David, preach it there. Then, you know, you can't just speak things into existence. Speaking life alone is not enough. There must be an alignment between your words and your life. You can say, I am highly favored, I am blessed, I will be prosperous, I claim success in my business, I will have good health, no harm will come to me. But it's not just about naming it. There must be an alignment between the words that we speak and the life that we live. I'm not somebody that believes that you can name it and claim it. You know, some people think that you can almost control God to do what you want by just saying these words, because they understand the power of words. But it's not just about speaking life. Your life must also align with what you're speaking. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And it says here, and it shall come to pass. All right. A lot of people want to focus on the second half of this verse. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Okay, blessings coming on us and overtaking us. And if you could throw the slide up onto the fallback screen, that will help me a little bit today. It says, and it shall come to pass. Everybody say if. That's a big if. If you want to be blessed, you better know what this if is all about. Because if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all that his commandments, which I command thee this day, that, okay, let's learn some computer programming I learned at university. If this, then that. The if-then statements. If you will hearken diligently to God, if you will obey his commandments, that the Lord will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. God's going to bless you. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If you will hearken, there's another if. If you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You can't just speak without having obedience to God. Even Jesus said in Luke 8:11-28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And so there must be an alignment between our words and our life. Now, the TV evangelists, they love this sort of stuff. They talk about financial prosperity. And a lot of people like to hear a lot about financial prosperity. Let me tell you, money isn't everything. I was just talking to some people over the last week, and they were talking that they came to Australia and, very, very rich country, and they thought that this was the answer to all of their dreams and all of that. They said, but sometimes they long to go back home where life was so simple and all you could hear was the sound of laughing children, kids playing in the street, roosters crowing, all of those sort of things, the simple life. But they said, you know, we had so much more happiness when we had nothing. Financial prosperity, people love to hear about it. They want to speak about the windows of heaven being opened and all of these things. But unless we match the talk with the walk, it's not going to happen. Look at this, financial prosperity, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You were cursed with a curse. You can speak the financial prosperity over your life as much as you want, but you're going to be cursed if you're robbing God. Verse 10 says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, then I will. He says, prove me. If this, then this. Prove me now. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You can rebuke the devourer as much as you want, but unless your life is aligned to the word of God, they're just empty words. Because if you do what God tells you to do, then he will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, we've got to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And that's why we got to be careful of the name it, claim it idea, where you can just name it and speak things into existence and all these sort of things. No, there must be an alignment between your life and what you are speaking, because James chapter 1 verse 22 says, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so sadly, many faithfully attend church, but many are faithfully deceived. Because they come and hear, but they don't apply God's word to their life. The tongue, the power of the tongue, how we speak, it's not just a good idea. Speaking life is critical to being victorious as Christians. Speaking life has great significance. Jesus spoke. Speaking something is significant. He said, the Bible says Jesus Christ said he came to proclaim and to preach the release of the captives. He came to preach the release of the captives. Why didn't he come and just do it with his hands? He came to preach or proclaim the release to the captives in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. We are told when we take communion that we are to proclaim his death until he comes. To speak it with actions or with words. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How did God create the heaven and the earth? God created it with his words. I think 9 times in the first chapter of the book of the first chapter of the Bible, it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. Make no mistake, there's power in the words. You will eat the fruit of your lips. Your life will follow the direction of your tongue. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, everyone say, say. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Okay? There needs to be an alignment between your life and your words. If you say and not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Joel chapter 3 verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Matthew 9 verse 21. We spoke about her before I started preaching. She said, everybody else said, you can't get to Jesus. Look at the crowd. Look, but she said in her heart, she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She said, if I could just get to Jesus, if I can just touch Jesus, I know that he shall heal me. You see, her situation wasn't good, but she began to speak life in spite of her situation. Let me tell you, when you face a situation or a circumstance, when you're going through a hard time, it's an invitation to say, God, I want to know what you've got to say about this. I want to know when I say I can't make it. I don't know if I can just keep living as a Christian in these last days, the hardships that I face. Okay, I don't know what I can do, but I want to speak life. What does God's word say? I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says that God is with me. Lo, I am with you always. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to begin to speak life And so when we, the next time you face a difficulty, you've got to discover, try to uncover and what God has to say about what you're facing right now, and then begin to speak God's word over the situation. David and Goliath, I love this story ever since I was in Sunday school. 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath got up in the morning, put his armor on, walked out into the battlefield, and he stood there and ridiculed, he mocked, and he humiliated the children of God. He did it in the morning, at the beginning of every day, and in the evening, he did the same thing. They went to bed with those thoughts on their mind because those words were being spoken. They woke up, and if in case they had forgotten them overnight, Goliath was speaking them again. Ridiculing and cursing all the threats and negativity. And you know what? The children of Israel, because of those words, they forgot who they were. And they stood there, scared. Nobody wanted to fight. And then little David shows up. He's a worshiper. He's bringing some ham, cheese, tomato sandwiches. Okay? He's bringing something to his brothers. And he hears Goliath. And Goliath is running his mouth again against the children of Israel. And you know what David says? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, he wasn't just, this wasn't like a biblical, swear word. Uncircumcised Philistine. There was a meaning to what he said. He said, what are we doing sitting here scared of an uncircumcised Philistine? You know why he said that? I want to show you why David turned up and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You see, David understood what circumcision meant. Circumcision was a mark in the Old Testament, was a mark of covenant with God. Everybody say covenant. God told Abraham, he said, circumcise all the male children on the eighth day, and this will signify, Genesis 21 verse 4, this will signify the covenant that I have with them. When they're circumcised, they go into covenant, and it goes on, it says, and I will fight their battles. Woo! I will fight their battles. I will be their provider, and I will be their source. I will fight their battles. And so when David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It wasn't just some sort of name calling. He said, why are we scared of this guy? He's not even in covenant with God. We are in covenant with God. We are the children of God. We are in covenant with God. What's he talking about? God is with us. God fights our battles. Why are we scared? And you know what? They're all sitting there. Oh, Goliath. Oh, no, Goliath. And David says, no, I'm just going to speak what God's got to say about this. God, you said we're in covenant with you. You said that you would fight our battles. You said that you would give us strength. You said that you would be our source. You see, a covenant means whoever touches you touches me. David said, if this guy's speaking against us, he's speaking against God. Covenant says, till death do us part, like in marriage. You see, the Israelites were part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And they had that sign of covenant. Whoever came against them came against God. And so David, he's fresh. He's not in that stinking thinking attitude that they all have there on the side of the mountain. They're all in the doldrums. They're all full of negativity. David shows up and he's fresh. He says, huh? Are you seeing this the way I see it? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's not in covenant with God. Why are we scared of him? You see, they forgot that. David had to remind them. You see, every time Goliath roared, the Israelites were terrified. They forgot that they had a bigger champion on their side. Let me tell you, God is on our side. You see, David didn't just go into battle with a slingshot and five stones. He went into the battle with the Lord on his side. David was saying, I am in covenant with God. He spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke life. He said, you come to me with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord. He started saying, the same God, he starts speaking life. The same God that helped me kill the bear and the lion. Notice his confession. He says, he will deliver you into my hands. He ran out there and defeated Goliath. I'll ask you today, what are you confessing with your mouth? What are you speaking over your circumstances? Because we are people not of the old covenant. We are people of the new covenant. Everyone say new covenant. You say, okay, yeah, that's the whole circumcision thing sound a bit strange, Pastor. That was an old covenant thing. New covenant. When Jesus died, he put an end to the old covenant. So how do we get into the new covenant? Let me show you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It's going to be on the screen. Is it up there? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. It says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. All right, we don't have it yet, but here it is. In whom also you are circumcised. Huh? There it is, that word. It's appearing in the New Testament. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay, so how do we receive this New Testament covenant? It says that we, look at this. Go to verse 12. This is how the covenant happens in the New Testament. Buried with him in baptism. Go back to verse 11. I want to make sure they get it. You got it on the screen now. Verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In other words, you're in covenant with God, not by the way they did it in the Old Testament, but the way they do it in the New Testament. In whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We still don't have an answer what it is yet. Here it is. Bang. Next one. Next verse. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You see, when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are in covenant with God. You don't have to be afraid. You've taken on the name of Jesus. You can walk in victory. You can speak life. You can speak it out because you're more than a conqueror. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. If you speak words of faith, then your life will be full of faith. If you speak God's words, God's promises, if you speak life, it'll change the course of your life for good. But the reverse is true. Your words also have power for death. Careless words can destroy lives in minutes. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words will never hurt me. As we used to say that in school, it's not true. Words can hurt, and they can hurt a lot. And Jesus said this in Matthew 12, verse 36. We will give it account at the judgment seat of Christ for every vain, idle word that we speak. Ephesians 4 said, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only that which is beneficial to the progress of others. And so is it going to build them up, or is it going to tear them down? And parents, this is where it comes down to the words that we speak to our kids. And I spoke about this a few weeks ago. The words, how we speak to our kids when we're frustrated, if we speak condescending, if we speak sarcastic, if we speak hurtful words, we are speaking death. Some parents have big problems because they didn't speak words to their kids. They just spoke about other people all the time. And they ran other people down. Some parents have big problems because they spoke about their in-laws in a certain way. And now their kids are older. Now their kids don't want anything to do with their parents. Why? Let me tell you why. Because their parents taught them. by the way they spoke. Running down people in authority. Yeah, you may think you're just running down that police officer that pulled you over for speeding. But you're in your children's mind, you are teaching them to have a disrespect for authority. And so when you come in and say, you have to listen to me, I'm your parent. They say, no, you told me I don't have to respect authority. You've been teaching me with your words. And some children, they are just a product of the condescending, sarcastic, put down words that are constantly spoken to them. You can change your life, your kid's direction by speaking life. And I've seen it with my boys. You tell them, oh, you're the best footballer. You're the best. You can kick it further than anyone. And straight away, their shoulders come up. Their eyes light up. Oh, Dad, really? And they believe it. They believe it. I'm so proud of you. Oh, it means the world to them because I'm speaking life to them. Let me tell you, the Bible says that we will reap the fruit of our mouth. Look at Numbers chapter 13. I know I've got to get ready to finish. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Caleb speaks life. We're able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him, okay, here they come, we said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel. The land, it's too hard. It is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They eat people. And all the people that we saw, they're so huge. Look at this. Joshua and Caleb, they spoke life. But there were 10 people that spoke negativity. And they convinced 3 million people to have a grasshopper complex. We are but grasshoppers. We can't do it. We've got nothing. Let me tell you, church, let's change the way we speak. Change the way we speak to others. Change the way we speak about our circumstances. Change the way we speak to ourselves and start to speak life. Understand who you are in Jesus Christ, that you are in covenant with Him. He will fight your battles. He will hear you when you pray. You've got to know who you are and then start to say what God says about you. Start to speak God's word over your circumstances. I'm not telling you it's all going to be easy, but when you come up against hardships, say, no, I know I'm going through a hardship, but I want to know what God's got to say about this. Hosea chapter 14 verse 2. It's a great scripture. I'd never read it before. I never realized it. Read over it probably. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Words. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, the benefits and the blessings bestowed upon us as redeemed children of God, as born again Christians, we've got so much blessing. We've got so much victory. Jesus died on the cross for us. He purchased our salvation. The victory is already won. We win if we just stand. Don't give the devil a stick to beat you around with. Speak life. Everyone say, speak life. Everybody say, speak life. If the musicians could come, I want to read some scriptures. Maybe you need to write one of these down for the week that you're facing. John 1 verse 12, I am a child of God. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, I have peace with God. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, I am His masterpiece. I am His workmanship. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, I am helped by God. I am reconciled to God. I am not condemned by God. Romans 5 verse 1, I am justified. Romans 5 19 says, I have the righteousness of Jesus. When the devil comes to you and says, you're just a dirty, rotten scoundrel, you're a sinner, Jesus doesn't love you, you can never be forgiven, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 and speak it. I am completely forgiven. John 15, 1 and verse 5 says, I am a branch on the vine, which is Jesus. When the devil says, nobody loves you, you say, no, I am tenderly loved by God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I got an inheritance. I share his inheritance with him. I am chosen by God. I am loved. I am sanctified. You know what? I can go to God with boldness. Devil, you come against me with sword and spear and all sorts of trouble, but I've just come against you in the name of Jesus. I have freedom and confidence. I have been rescued from Satan's domain, transferred into the kingdom of the Lord. I am complete. You are complete in Jesus Christ. I have been adopted as a child of God. I am assured that all things are working together for good. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor things in heaven, nor things on earth. I am confident that the work that God began, he's going to finish it. He's going to perfect it. Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a matter of life and death. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And every single one of us as Christians, we have a great responsibility. And that is the words of our mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Let the words, everyone say the words. You see, when we faith is not just something that's in our head. Faith is in our walk. Faith is in our talk. Faith is in our conversation. We got to speak life. You see, we've got a responsibility today that every single one of us would choose life or choose death. We choose it with our words. Let's speak. Let's stand right now. And I started by telling you that there is a false name and claim it doctrine. And the devil, that's the way he works. For everything real, he'll create a fake. There is a false name it and claim it doctrine. Why? Why did the devil come up with a false name it and claim it doctrine? Because in the Bible, there is a proper biblical way that we use our words. Our life must align with the way we speak. You see, God didn't keep Joseph from the pit. God let Joseph go into the pit. God didn't let Daniel, he didn't keep him out of the lion's den. He had to go into the lion's den. Those Hebrew boys went into the fire. Paul and Silas went into prison. But you know what? It was their attitude. It was their words. They said, throw us in the fire. God will keep us. Throw us with the lions. God's more than able to deliver us. And there are Paul and Silas with chains around their hands and chains around their feet. And you know what they did? They started praising God. And I want to encourage you. Praise is powerful. There's victory in your mouth. Life is in your mouth. When you begin to speak it out, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Speak life. Speak life. Speak those words. Whatever you're facing right now, get the promises of God. Come hell or high water, whatever you're going through, stand on the promises of God. Speak the promises of God. Speak the word of God. Speak the truth of God's word. I refuse to get caught up in the negative talk. I refuse to speak defeated. I refuse to speak vain and careless words. My trust is in the Lord. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? God has spoken to us about our words. The words that we speak, they are life and death. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands and let's just pray right now. Let God speak to us. God is speaking to every single one of us this morning. Change the way you're speaking to yourself. Some of you beat yourself up with your words. Start to speak over your life what God says about you. Don't believe anything that's not in the Bible. Don't believe anything that God about yourself that God doesn't say about you. Don't believe anything about yourself that God doesn't say against you. Let God be true and every man a liar, even ourselves. Speak life. Speak life. This altar is open if you want to come and pray today. Some of you need to come take hold of the promises of God. Come kneel at this altar and pray and say, God, Lord, help me to change the way that I speak. Help me to control my tongue. Lord God, Lord Jesus, I want to speak life over my circumstances. Come to this altar. If you're going through something in your life right now, come to this altar and start to speak life over those circumstances. Come to speak in prayer over those circumstances. Come to pray what God would have you pray over that situation and that trouble. We love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, receive what God has spoken to you today. Oh, you are a covenant child of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.